Well, hello everybody again, and we're continuing with our Letters on Occult Meditation. This is program 9. Maybe we have a little time perhaps to do a program of 1 hour. Yesterday, I know I gave you a very long program. It was 4 hours long, and it included the idea of 5 stages of the inner flame, all the way from individualization to the destruction by means of the flame of the causal body and the radiation through the periphery. So here we are, and now we're beginning point 2 in 3 factors to be considered, and this is called the specific gravity and content of the causal body. We recognize that specific gravity is a relative density relative to a given standard, whether that standard is water at a certain temperature, and it could be also, there was another standard given, but the idea is you compare the substance for which you are considering specific gravity with the reference substance. Of course, we have something on the higher mental plane here. We're not really going to be able to measure it in the kind of units that are common to the physical plane. We cannot do that. But anyway, the specific gravity and content of the causal body. And this is our 9th program, 24th of July, page 29. This subject, anent, the causal body, opens up for the thinker much food for speculation. The literal figures and the dimensional lines cannot be given. They form one of the secrets of initiation. You know, maybe we can see actually how far is the extent of the average causal body and what is the relative density with respect to the atomic milieu or the milieu of the higher mental plane in which it is immersed. Yes, they form one of the secrets of initiation, but certain ideas may be suggested and submitted for the consideration of all interested. We're always up against the wall with this idea of secrets of initiation, and maybe we can find a way to come closer through our own reasoning and intuition, but we can never be certain of these matters until the time comes when they are definitely imparted, or the time comes when the scientific reach of research is sufficiently penetrating and deals with sufficient subtlety. Just what do we mean, or do you mean, when you speak of the causal body? Say not glibly the body of causes, for words thus spoken are oft but nebulous and vague. Let us now consider the causal body and find out its component parts. My 2 keyboards issue here. Yeah, there we go. And I try to work in a different color. So there we go. All right. Well, we'll have to compare what he says elsewhere with what he says here. this is foundational, but so many of the foundational factors should not be overlooked. They're overlooked at our peril. We will, we will not understand in a sufficiently anchored and accurate manner. Okay. You know, how many different sections does it have? Is it three main sections? Is it four? Is it five? It depends on how we count. On the involutionary path, you have what is termed the group soul, aptly described, as far as earth words permit, as a collection of triads enclosed in a triple envelope of monadic essence, as I guess there are three kinds of monadic essence. And on the evolutionary path, groups of causal bodies correspond and are similarly composed, three factors entering in. Okay. So even in the group soul of the animal, let us say, the spiritual triad is somehow represented. And certain kinds of substance that we call monadic essence, I think there are three different kinds, are brought together. And there is an easy exchange, I think, between these units so that the learning of one passes into the learning of another. And that way, speed of development is facilitated. So on the evolutionary path, groups of causal bodies correspond and are similarly composed. Now, we've seen, I ran over the other day on page 38 and 39 here, the idea of the causal bodies on the higher mental plane. We'll have to check out the first subplane, but there at least were groups there. And on the second and third subplanes, there were groups of causal bodies because they were not yet destroyed. The causal body is a collection of permanent atoms, three in all, and maybe we should call this the atomic triangle, enclosed in an envelope of mental essence. Now, I don't know why he has this ellipse here, these dots. There may be more to the story that he doesn't want to impart at the moment. We know that it has a shape, whether ovoid or spherical. It has a periphery. Thus far, its radiation extends. More and more is the extension when we deal with greater stages of advancement. And when we go beyond the stage of the causal body itself, and we have instead a focus within the higher mental vehicle, the Buddhic vehicle, and the Atmic vehicle, which have been organized and are useful, then the extent is even greater. I had that experience, Tuya, also, that we were in Tallinn, Estonia. I think it's the capital, it's certainly the major city of Estonia. And the Dalai Lama was scheduled to come there And literally, you could feel his approach from quite some distance. Now, whether that was causal extension or something beyond causal extension, there certainly was a radiation which went before him, as it were. What happens at the moment when animal man becomes a thinking entity, a human being? The approximation of the self and the not-self by means of mind, and what is the self? Is this self monadic? Now that will be a question. But we have to connect the inner essence of the man with his outer instrumentation. And the mental plane is the great connector. Now, interestingly, you know, Mercury, a connecting planet, has so much to do with it. Venus, a magnetically connecting planet, has so much to do with this possible connection. They're both planets of the mind. And in a way, we can say that Mercury rules the lower mental plane in one of its lesser expressions, Buddhic and beyond in a higher expression, and Venus rules the higher mental area. The approximation of the self and the not-self by means of the mind, for man is that being in whom highest spirit and lowest matter are linked together by intelligence. Now, this is a good this is a good definition of what man is. The a being whose highest spirit and lowest matter, the externality of the man, these two are linked together by intelligence, by a vehicle or an energy on the mental plane. And I think the higher mental plane is in this case the linking process, just the way, let's say, maybe the heart is a linking organ. The heart is equivalent to the causal body in one way, and the causal body is the heart center, or a heart center, of the monad. What do I mean, he says. You know, I've spoken to people who said, look, I read this book a long time ago. Maybe it was even one of the first ones I read, because chronologically it appeared early on in the production of the books. Well, so did I. And that was years ago. And am I getting something out of this slower and more concentrated evaluation of what's being said? Absolutely. It's as if on some of these matters, I never read it at all. So maybe, you know, you feel the need also of dealing with these matters. What do I mean by this phrase? Man is that being in whom highest spirit, that is the monad within its planar vehicle, and the lowest matter, I guess the dense physical level, or the maybe the entire personality considered as occurring within the dense physical body of the planetary logos, these two are linked together by intelligence. So what do I mean by this phrase? And just this, that when animal man had reached a point of adequacy, when his physical body was sufficiently coordinated, so, you know, let's just say here, there was a requirement. There was a requirement. When he had an emotional or desire nature sufficiently strong to form a basis for existence, so animal man had emotions, just the way our dogs and cats have emotions, and horses and so forth. So when he had an emotional or desire nature sufficiently strong to form a basis for existence, you know, it's all operating instinctually in the case of animal man, and to guide it by means of instinct. And when the germ of mentality was sufficiently implanted, and this is the germ of mentality, the slowly forming mental unit. It's not like the mental unit suddenly appeared when man individualized. It had been growing in clarity and functionality all along, even before individualization. I have some references on that. And when the germ of mentality, again, I'll put in here, let's call it the mental unit, was sufficiently implanted to have donated the instinctive memory and correlation of ideas that can be seen in the average domesticated animal, because there is correlation of mental states in such animals, then the descending spirit, which had taken to itself an atom on the mental plane, let's see, is this the monastic permanent atom? There is a point at which at least the atoms of the triad are appropriated by the monad early on in the process. Then the descending spirit, which has taken to itself an atom on the mental plane, judged the time to be ripe, judged, let's just say, this spirit had consciousness, the time ripe for taking possession of the lower vehicles. And let's just say that the formation of the causal body is part of the taking possession. Sometimes we think of the monad as a blank slate. It isn't. It has experience. And on its own level, it has consciousness and memory. And everything that we have is of the monad. And everything that we have individually really is ultimately of the monad. Even though we call these possessions by other names, they really are expressions of the monad in attenuating presence. In other words, my soul conscious is really an attenuation of monadic consciousness. My personal consciousness is an attenuation, a further attenuation of monadic consciousness. And by attenuation, I mean getting slimmer and slimmer and more and more narrow and possessing less scope, a thinning out, as it were, of the full scope of consciousness available to the monad. The lords of the flame were called in and either 21 million years ago or 18.5 million years ago. This morning we've, in Cosmic Fire, we've been dealing with the amazing numbers in footnote number 6, which gives us the yugas, the Mahayugas, the days of Brahma, the nights of Brahma, the years of Brahma, the centuries of Brahma, up to stupendous figures. So these figures, though stupendous when compared to what we normally expressed in an incarnation or even a number of them are small compared to the figures we were dealing with in footnote 6. You know, go to page 38, 39 of A Treatise on Cosmic Fire and find that mind-boggling footnote. The Lords of the Flame were called in, and you know, you're going to ask here, by whom or what, the planetary logos, under the command of the solar logos, perhaps? And they affected the transfer of a polarization from the lower atom of the triad to the lowest atom of the personality. This is a very important statement. And it's repeated in a different way on page 168 and 169 of Esoteric Psychology, Volume 1. So let's just say, go also to EP1, 168 and 169. Basically, the monastic permanent atom is on the first subplane of the mental plane, and therefore the lowest atom in the triad is largely responsible for the formation of the first form of the egoic lotus. So the lowest atom of the personality, and what is that? The etheric permanent atom, or sometimes called the physical. Sometimes called the PPA, physical permanent atom. Even then, the indwelling flame could come no lower than the third subplane of the mental plane. And I have to say, you know, in this is technically so brilliant, on which the causal bodies of the majority of human beings are even today found, there there the two met and became one, and the causal body was formed. So the flame, the inner flame, and the third subplane substance met, and the causal body was formed. And maybe this is a slightly different approach to formation than found in the moon chain or previous solar system. Oh, the technicalities are killers here. You just have to be as precise as possible. The indwelling flame could come no lower than the third subplane of the mental plane. Now, you know, and let's just say, if this is about individualization, individualization in on the Earth globe, let us not forget that the solar angels are involved. But right now we seem to be talking about the inner flame or the monad, and how the causal body is a direct result of this. So it's difficult to know, we should be speaking of the formation of the causal body on our globe and in our chain in this solar system. And then we have to compare it with how that takes place on the moon chain or in the previous solar system, when there were no intervening solar angels to help create the causal body, or at least the lotus structure. All in nature is interdependent, and the indwelling thinker cannot control in the lower three worlds without the aid of the lower self. The indwelling thinker, the soul on its own plane. Well, the life of the first logos must be blended with that of the second logos, which is like soul and personality, or let's say vehicle and soul, based on the activity of the third logos, which is the monad, if we look at it that way, at least in the order that they operate. It's the third aspect of divinity that comes first, and always second is the second aspect of divinity, and then the first aspect of divinity comes into it in a manifest manner, third in order. But from another perspective, let's see how we go here. Okay, I'm going to have to pause the recording for a moment. Now we have this image of the different logo, and you know, it could be exactly the opposite way than what I said. The third logos prepares the matter, and the second logos prepares the form made out of the matter, and the first logos is more the spirit aspect and meets the rising second and third at the point of where the causal body is going to be formed. That's the descent of the spirit. So, you know, it's 3-2-1 in order of time, but the first logos is the spirit aspect, second is the soul aspect, third has to do with the activity aspect. You know, with all trinities, you can turn them in a couple of different directions. Okay. So all in nature is interdependent, and the indwelling thinker cannot control the three lower worlds without the aid of the lower self, and let's just call it its instrument. The life of the first logos, in this case, monad, or what the monad represents, must be blended with that of the second logos, the monad and soul, and based on the activity of the third aspect. Well, the activity should have given me the hint, which is the outer instrumentation and related to the Holy Spirit. Therefore, you have at the moment of individualization, which is the term used to express this hour of contact on the third subplane of the mental plane, a point of light enclosing three atoms, and we can call this the atomic triangle, and itself enclosed in a sheath of mental matter on the higher mental plane, of course. And then the work to be done consists of, okay. Well, you can see how this would be a valuable book to read in connection with From Intellect to Intuition by Alice Bailey. There she's not dealing with the technicalities so much, but with the functioning of these various, of the mind as a connecting vehicle, whether instinctual, intellectual, or intuitional. A point of light, and I'll just try to have it stand out. Well, maybe the right color would be the yellow, because we're dealing with intelligence. Perhaps that would be better. See, it takes a lot of trust, doesn't it? I mean, the skepticism of the modern mind usually doesn't allow the acceptance of this kind of information even to be used as a hypothesis. It just discounts it. And because of that, the understanding of man is retarded compared to what it might otherwise be. So let's just try to catch this again. Man is the being in whom highest spirit and lowest matter are linked together by intelligence. Animal man had to be ready physically and emotionally, and the germ of mentality, which is the mental unit, had to be coming along. And there was some mentality there, you know, at least on the level or more of the average domesticated animal. And then the descending spirit knew, judged that the time was ripe for the taking possession of the of an instrument. That is the outer man. And the lords of the flame, by whatever means, and whoever we mean, do we mean the solar angels, or do we mean actually the, I suppose individualization has to mean the outer solar angels, because the great lords of the flame, who are Kumaras, did not really begin their work until 18.5 million years ago, as far as we are given to believe. But by whatever means, they effected the transfer from the lower atom of the triad, which had been formed when the monad took possession of three atoms, an atmic, a buddhic, and a monastic atom. And then the transfer was completed to the lowest atom of the personality. Well, there wasn't much of a personality then. Man was not really a personality, but what would become the lowest vehicle of the personality once that personality was formed? That was activated, and there was a transfer of polarization, a focus within the etheric permanent atom, etheric physical permanent atom, physical permanent atom, whatever you want to call it, the lowest one. The lowest permanent atom of the triad, a three-spirillid atom, is different from the permanent atom on the etheric, physical, systemic plane. They are two different things, but they are being connected here. And the indwelling flame, even though there was a kind of an activation, polarization, vivification of that, of our lowest permanent atom, let's call it the physical permanent atom on the first or atomic systemic ether, the indwelling flame could not come any lower than the third subplane. And sometimes you see in the jewel in the lotus the sense that there's an inner fire there, which is an expression of the spirit. Could come no lower. The inner fire in the jewel in the lotus is the expression of the spirit or monad. No lower than the third subplane, where even today the causal bodies of the majority are found. So there, the two met, the spirit and what is going to shape up to be one of its vehicles on the higher mental plane, or let's say spirit descended to the higher mental plane. Spirit met the energy of the higher mental plane. And the causal body, however much, however tiny, was formed. And maybe we don't know yet what about the petal structure. Did that depend on the angel of the presence as angel of the presence, which is a projection of the solar angel, at least the way I see it at the moment. You don't get the entire solar angel invested on the higher mental plane. There's still an aspect of it which remains on the Buddhic plane. DK warned about the second ray type creating forms within forms. And I see that that's exactly what I'm doing here. All in nature is interdependent, and the indwelling thinker, the soul, on its own plane, and then later the triad and later the monad, but at first the soul on its own plane, cannot control in the lower three worlds without the aid of the lower self. And the lower self is, you know, our elemental personality vehicle. You know, we're getting a little bit of the history of the structure that we use for our highest aspect to contact the lowest aspect and the environment in which the lowest aspect lives. The life of the first logos, okay, so now we've straightened that out in terms of the 1, 2, 3, 3, 2, 1, must be blended with that of the second logos and based on that outer activity of the third logos. One, two, three, but in order they function sequentially as three, two, one. Always the third aspect appears first, and therein lies the potential for confusion. Therefore, you have at the moment of individualization a moment, which is the term used to express this hour of contact. Of the spirit with the higher mental plane. On the third subplane of the mental plane, a point of light enclosing three atoms, if we call the let's just say, are we calling the mental unit an atom? Apparently so. You know, sometimes we shouldn't call it a permanent atom. It is an atom, or it's a partial atom. And itself enclosed in a sheath of mental matter, matter from the third subplane of the mental plane. And the work to be done consists of what? Okay, so that little review there. And if you're approaches like mine, a review will not hurt. you kind of tell yourself what you're going to do, then you do it, and then you tell yourself what you did, or you all convey that to other people when you're trying to teach. So the work to be done consists of causing that point of light to become a flame by steadily fanning the spark and feeding the fire. And let's say, who or what does this? Are we dealing with the method of implantation or the method of fanning? Because there are some human beings that are maybe not that far along yet, for whom the spark was fanned. And there are others more like what Blavatsky calls the hothouse plant variety that have received implantation and the presence of the solar angel of the presence, within the higher mental plane. And it may be even something there within the brain. So what is this work? The work then consists of, I'll make it, you know, red to make it stand out. So causing the point of light to become a flame. This is one thing. This is the work. Causing the causal body to grow and expand from being a colorless ovoid, and I would have to say, or sometimes a sphere in certain cases. I wonder if the ray of the monastic permanent atom is the reason for either the ovoidal or spherical structure. A colorless ovoid holding the ego like a yolk within the eggshell, egoic lotus, in this case, the egoic lotus, I think I'll leave a little room, little wiggle room there, holding the ego like a yolk within the eggshell to a thing of rare beauty, you know, just before destruction at the fourth initiation, containing within in itself all the colors of the rainbow. And what about red, as there are no petals which are red, even though a first ray ego might have a general tint of red. So that still remains to be clarified. He does say it is an occult fact. From colorlessness, he's calling it here the colorless ovoid, to a thing of rare beauty. And of course, beauty is associated with the number four, and at the four, the maximum of beauty of the Temple of Solomon is created, or has eventuated. So the ego, in this case, it appears to be the egoic lotus, or that which will blossom as the egoic lotus and its petals, like a yolk within the eggshell, to a thing of rare beauty containing all the colors of the rainbow. This is an occult fact. The causal body will palpitate, not yet. In due course of time, with an inner radiation, you know, that flame in the five steps, the growth of from the point to the flame, and the palpitation, you know, suggests a pulsation, but palpitate. Suggests pulsation, a first ray motion. On off, it will palpitate in due course of time with an inner radiation and an inner glowing flame that will gradually work its way from the center to the periphery. It will then pierce through that periphery using the body, that product of millennia of lives of pain and endeavor, as fuel for its flames. So there are pieces of information that you wouldn't want to do without, and maybe not quite ever given in the same way anywhere else in the books. So, you know, don't skip over anything. Of course, we all have, and then we've found, hey, there's a hole in my knowledge. How did that happen? And then you find out why it happened, because you either didn't read or read carefully or attend to the writing where the missing information was given. It will burn all up. It will mount upward to the triad, and let's just say, not yet the monad, and becoming one with the triad, absorbed into the triadal permanent atoms, will be reabsorbed into the spiritual consciousness, i.e., consciousness of the spiritual triad, and will carry with it, using heat as the symbol, and intensity of heat or quality of color or vibration that before were lacking i.e. not present in the spiritual triad. So this is one of the causes of an increased vivification of the spiritual triad. And maybe the triad looks different for one who still has a causal body and one for whom the causal body has been destroyed. This would all be part of the inner vision. And, you know, if we maybe know what to expect, we'll know what to look for when the time comes. I think this should be the word specific, not AC for air conditioning or something. Specific gravity. Anyway, just a little more because there's only so much time right now. Therefore, the work of the personality, for we have to view all from that angle until egoic vision may be ours, is first to beautify, build, and expand the causal body. So by our personal work, the causal body is enhanced. Secondly, to withdraw within it the life of the personality. Well, the under the guidance of the solar angel, or angel of the presence, the good within the personality that has been generated in any particular incarnation is withdrawn into the causal body, sucking the good out of the personal life and storing it in the body of the ego. Okay, so this is the work of the personality, and we have to talk about the personality in terms of the origin of the work to be done, because we are not yet fully internally operative within the causal body. We don't have the causal vision in great and accurate detail. We might term this the divine vampirism, for always evil is but the other side of good. And then, having accomplished this, comes the application of the flame to the causal body itself and the joyous standing by. Maybe, you know, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The joyous standing by whilst the work of destruction goes on. And the flame, the live inner man, and the spirit of divine life is set free and mounts to its source. Well, at first the spiritual triad, and then, and we say, when the monad. I think that the spiritual triad receives this the product of the fiery accolade first. And then the triad itself, I think, offers up or finds itself in a state of having to submit to extraction when the monad absorbs everything. It looks like the Buddha, however, left his vestures, which one can consider the atmic Buddhic and higher mental vehicle, not the causal body, for the use of the Christ. So this is kind of, you know, how it is that good is produced, good is extracted into a state of elevation and finds a new point of tension at which to abide, and then is further extracted. As the work of destruction goes on. Okay, well, I think we have reached the point. We've just gone a little bit, I think, to page 31. And this is simply about an hour program. I'd like to do more right now, but there's another webinar coming up. But this has to be read and reread to anchor our thought in the unvarying specifics. So at least we have a foundation for future thought and maybe reasonable speculation. I think we're just at this point. And make sure that the line is there. And so we have finished program 9. And from page 29 to roughly. And we'll start with program 10 from 31, and, you know, we're just about at 32 onward. I could have finished this if there had been a little more time, because there's not much more to go, maybe another half hour, but it will have to be next time. And we'll see if that next time is today or whether XX means something else. I have no idea what that word AC is doing there. So I'll just kind of cross it out. I think it's the specific gravity determines the moment, and there's some kind of typo. Well, okay, friends, that's going to be it for us for right now. And we certainly have, I think, seen some really important foundational matters. This, sometimes, you know, he talks about the personality, but the question is, when does the personality really appear? I mean, certainly the atomic triangle, which is the basis of the personality, appears. But the personality itself, as any kind of integrated or equally developed apparatus, does not appear right away. And then it can, much depends on the ray, you know. A lot of people will have emotional development, and not too much of the standard mentality. And others may be emotionally atrophied and have a lot of the lower mentality. So anyway, we have some personality vision, and even, let's call it enhanced, no, that's not correct. We'll call it, spiritualized personality vision. Okay, well, this is something I would like to see reduced in size. And changed into a different color. And something maybe a little bigger. Until egoic vision may be ours, and then we'll be able to see for ourselves these matters. And it will be worth a lot more than understanding through the mediated form of words, no matter how good the words may be. I mean, the Tibetan words are excellent. And with Alice Bailey, they really chose the right words. But unfortunately, we're not seeing directly as we would with straight knowledge. So, extraction occurs, and another extraction occurs, and eventually the monad possesses everything that it developed in going forth on its pilgrimage. I leave the Father's home, and turning back, I save. I right now find myself wanting to make sure that the vital information is extracted. And, you know, I'm not satisfied ever about the degree of extraction and the degree of understanding, not satisfied. But one has to leave it as it is. Suffice it to say, changes in the triad occur with the destruction of the causal body, and we have no longer to be concerned about what is the ray of the causal body because it's gone, and the ray of the what turns out to be our own higher mental body will be the same as the ray that's been working through the monastic permanent atom. Okay, and maybe, you know, maybe we'll be able to generate something of a Mayavarupic nature, and there will also be a ray of the mind, as the Christ appears to have a first-ray mind, according to the Tibetan in the Destiny of the Nations. But when it comes to the ray of the soul, it's the second ray, and every one of those triadal rays, every one of the triadal permanent atoms has the same ray in the right-hand column. That we see in a treatise on cosmic fire, page 177. Okay, I think that's enough, and we will proceed whenever possible with the with the next one. You know, I have this longing for complete assimilation of this material. And I know that's not possible, but maybe that longing is on fire within you too. And maybe we are all on our way towards that first real liberation, which is the burning up of the causal body. Every initiation is a kind of liberation, but this is the significant one when the ray of the monad becomes a very direct influence. It can be more or less felt, you know, as you approach the second, a third initiation and take the third initiation. It can be felt, but there's a real direct influence of the spirit that is felt when the fourth initiation is taken. All right. Lots of love, many blessings, and we'll see you before long. Right now we have to deal with the dissipation of glamour. And see you in this year, and maybe, you know, maybe it's 5 years from right now that you're looking at this thing, or whenever. But on this night, we continue with the glamour of fear and hope to weaken it for many human beings.